So on the sugya that we did yesterday, on Daf Kuf Heyam and Aleph, we had the Shita of Beis Hillel Mediach, and it was not clear whether or not Beis Hillel was referring to Adochas HaPeh, which means that you rinse out your mouth with water, and that's the way Rashi and Tosfos understood it, or perhaps he refers to Hadochas Yadayim with water, that you wash your hands, and that's the way Rabbeinu Gershon understood it. And the Radbaz asks the following kasha. He says, according to Beis Hillel, you need Hadocha and you don't need Kinuach, you don't need to be Mekaneach. Now, if Mediach refers to Hadochas HaYodayim, like Rabbeinu Gershon explained it, so how could it possibly be that Hadochas HaYodayim would help when we're trying to get rid of that which is in his mouth or stuck between his teeth? So it doesn't make sense that this Hava Mina, that Beis Hillel would say that Hadocha is sufficient, and we're talking about Hadochas Yadayim. I mean, Bishleim, according to Rashi and Tosfos, Hadochas HaPeh is meaningful, and maybe that could replace Mekaneach, Kinuach. But if you're talking about Hadochas Yadayim, what was the Hava Mina to say that that would help when we're talking about stuff that's in your mouth? So the Chassam Sofer offers the following pshat. He says that Hava Mina was that either Mediach without Mekaneach, or the other way around, Mekaneach without Mediach, it doesn't mean Hadocha as Netila, because Hadochas Netila, we said, would not really help with that which is stuck in his mouth. But he says, "Dema inyan nikiyas yadayim lenikiyas hapeh." Right? What good is that going to do for cleaning out your mouth? El rak lemaskana. What Rabbeinu Gershon is saying, that Hadocha might refer to Netilas Yadayim, that's only according to the maskana of the Gemara, that you need both Mekaneach and Mediach. So then you could say that the Hadocha is Hadochas Yodayim, is Nikias Yodayim, but certainly you need Kinuach. So then, he's saying that Rabbeinu Gershon's interpretation of Hadocha as referring to Hadochas Yodayim is only in the Maskonas HaGemara, when the Gemara assumes that you need both Hadocha and Kinuach. Right, so if you learn it, it means one or the other, then you're really in trouble, according to Rabbeinu Gershon, because how could Mediach mean Netilas Yadayim or Nekiyas Yadayim? That doesn't make any sense. So you're going to have to say that what Rabbeinu Gershon suggested as a possibility, that Hadocha could be Netilas Yadayim, it was only Lamaskona. After Gemara assumes that you need both.
Tosfos here says Tarvaya Bina.
Right, Tarvaya Bina. Yeah. Right. That's where Rabbeinu Gershon could possibly come in.
Yeah.
And we're going to integrate both Nekiyas HaPeh with Nekiyas Yadayim. Now, what is exactly the reason for Kinuach? So Rashi and many other Rishonim understand that the purpose and the goal of Kinuach is to make sure that there's nothing stuck inside his mouth, and maybe up in his palate, maybe between his gums. So the Meiri writes, HaKinuach, the purpose of Kinuach, no'ad lehasir ha'peirurim shenisharu b'chech, that there are still leftover pieces of meat that got stuck in his palate. That's the way the Meiri has it, and he brings here in the Moreshes Moshe a number of other achronim who go along that line. That kinuch hapeh is a way of cleaning out the mouth of certain shirayim, certain leftovers from the meat that he ate. But that's one approach. The Levush, that's about 5 centuries ago, he has a different approach. And he says that the purpose of kinuach is lahavir tam shuman mipiv. That it means that the kinuach is meant to change the taste in his mouth. You know, like his taste buds are still tasting that which he ate. Now he introduces another kind of foodstuff which he chews. And that's going to accomplish a change in the tam. And in other words, the tam, the fiv, is going to be, altered or undermined by this kinuach. Now, hadach asapeh, on the other hand, that's directed towards removing any possible particles that are left in his mouth. So when you combine kinuach with hadach, according to Levush, you solve two problems. Number one, you get rid of any actual material gush, you know, particles that are left, and that's through hadach asapeh. And then the kinuach is meant to change the tam in his mouth. Again, this is a very nice chiddush of the Levush, but it doesn't seem to reflect what the Rishonim say. The Rishonim are talking about kinuach in terms of actually getting rid of that which is nidbak, which is pieces, actual pieces that are benachanichayim, which are somewhere throughout his mouth. That's not the Levush. The Levush wants to change the tam in his mouth. But now he quotes the Ra'ah. You know, the Ra'ah has a commentary which is published in the Berak HaBayis.
Right.
And he says that the reason why he needs kinuach and hadocha is mishum ticha v'shamnunis hanisheres bepiv. And it could very well be that what he means here by ticha v'shamnunis is both the taste that's left in his mouth and the particles that are left in his mouth. The Darkei Moshe writes the following: in matzav basar ben hashinayim tzorch lekaneach es piv. So it seems clear that the purpose of kinuach, according to the Ramah, according to the Darkei Moshe, is to clean out the particles. Not the way the Levush had it, that kinuach was there to change the taste in his mouth. Now the Pri Chadash says that if a person tastes what's called a tavshil shel basar, which means that there's no actual meat in it, you know, he's eating, let's say, spaghetti that had meat in it, but he's eating the spaghetti part, tzorech kinuach v'adocha, nevertheless, he needs both kinuach and adocha. And the Aruch HaShulchan says l'chor, he doesn't understand, because if the way Rashi and Siyaso understand that the purpose of kinuach is to get rid of that which is stuck between his gums or up in his palate, he says in the case where he only ate the tavshil, so there's no meat that's actually stuck between his teeth. Masha'enkin, if you go with the Levush, that the purpose of kinuach is to remove the tam basar, then it could very well be that this tavshil, insofar as it was cooked with meat in the same pot, has a tam of basar. So it's left when you eat this spaghetti or this pasta is a tam of basar in your mouth, and you want to get rid of that, and therefore you're going to do kinuach. Now, there's going to be another question here which is addressed by the Rashash and others. Is there a difference with regard to kinuach and adocha between gvina and chalav, between cheese and milk? So a person ate cheese and now he wants to eat meat. He needs kinuach v'adocha. What happens if he drinks milk? So the Rashash claims that if he drinks milk, all he needs is hadach. He just has to rinse out his mouth. He doesn't need kinuach. Because if we say that the purpose of kinuach, which is according to Rashi, nidvach, that which is stuck, well, gvina could be stuck between his gums or between his teeth, but not milk. Milk is a liquid. It doesn't get stuck. There are no particles. However, the Isa Veheta, that's a very early sefer on Yerodea, writes, it's before the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Venim ochal, if he eats mikodem cholov, mutal lechol miyad basar, al yidei kinuach v'hadocha. And it seems clear from the Isa Veheta that there's no difference between gvina and cholov. Both require both kinuach v'hadocha. And perhaps this Isa Veheter is the source for the Levush, or at least it's a riot to the Levush, that the reason for Kinuach and Adocha is because of Tam Shuman Befiv. And maybe the Tam of Cholov is still Befiv after he drinks the milk. And if the goal is to get rid of that Tam, so then it makes sense to have Kinuach and Adocha even after milk, before you eat meat. Now the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch write that you can do hadacha not only with wine, but you can do hadacha with yayin. And the question now that he addresses, which always seems strange to me, is can you do kinuach, I'm sorry, hadacha I should say, with cholov, with milk? Milk could also, in a sense, clean out the mouth. And perhaps the answer is that the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch deliberately omitted chalav, milk, as a possibility for hadacha, because even after the drinking of milk, we require kinuach. So it doesn't make sense to rinse out your mouth with milk when milk requires kinuach. Now we're not sure why milk would require kinuach unless we go with the Levush that the reason for kinuach is tam. So he writes over here that there's a Beis Yosef in Simon Tzadi Gimel that writes that Bishul Cholov Eino Yochol Lahoyel Bitar Hag'ola. Like, let's say, for example, you want to make this pot into a parva pot, and now you want to use it for fleishiks. So it's a milchika pot, and you want to convert it to fleishiks. So you have to do hagola. Again, under the conditions that you're allowed to do hagola. Can you do hagola in milk? Hot milk. So the Beis Yosef says that would not work. Why? Kevan dechalav huha osur vibasar. Since now you want to use the kli for basar, and now you want to be machshir magil the kli with cholav, ainu b'din she'ehu hagorim leheter. It doesn't make sense that cholav, which is also the basar, should be the matir. And now perhaps we can apply that here to the case of hadoch asaper becholav. Hachinami ainu b'din she'acholav yishamish lahachshir lehechshir shalav basar. It doesn't make sense that he's going to rinse out his mouth with milk in order to allow himself to mash himself to eat basar. In that sense, he's like eating the basar with the cholov. Okay, fine. Now, with regard to kinuach, what's the deal? Is it enough that you chew something, or do you have to actually swallow something? Nechleku aposkim ha'im tzarech lilos viliv loa. Kideshi Yivla im hapas es pirure abosor agvino. So in other words, he ate meat and now he's chewing it up with a piece of bread, let's say. He's chewing a piece of bread, and that's meant to take out the basar. And now what's going to happen? If he swallows the pas, then he's getting rid of these pirure. So perhaps the blia here that's required according to one school of thought in the poskim is to take those pirurim and make sure they're down in his esophagus. He shouldn't leave them in his mouth when he's about to eat cheese, or the other way around. However, it's possible, and that's the school of thought of many other poskim, that all you need is to chew up this bread, or whatever you're using for a kinuach, and then you can spit it out. You don't need bliya. And this is the impression you get from the Rambam and many others. And even the Machaber speaks in terms of kinuach as yil'os, which means to chew. And what that means seems to, what that seems to indicate is that if he chews it up and now he gets rid of the particles and then he spits it out, that's good enough. The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Hakinuach hu sheyilos pas v'yikaneach bo piv yofe." It sounds like he suffices with le'isa. He doesn't require that you swallow it. And the diuk of his lashon is that if he eats pas b'derech regila, ve'enu mesalves apas l'toch piv lo avikinuach. In other words, when a person chews something, it really doesn't, it's not necessarily so that the particles that he's chewing are all over his mouth. So he has to do some sort of an unusual kind of chewing, which he calls mesave vesapas, betok piv. Now, meidiach, we said before, to wash out your mouth either with water or with wine. And the Itur writes, Tzorch adir pebe maim o yishteh. Now he writes, o yishteh. The implication is that there's another possibility of drinking the water. And that would also suffice as hadocha. But the first possibility was, ladir chasapeh. Apparently he doesn't drink the water. He spits it out. So that in the case of kinuach, we had a machlokes whether he has to swallow it or not after the kinuach. But in the case of hadocha, hadocha sapeh with the liquid, it seems that he doesn't have to swallow it. But it's very interesting, the flip side, that shtir, that if he swallows it, that's good enough, and he doesn't have to rinse his mouth out, he just has to drink it the normal way he drinks water. Now let's go back to the Havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ilei v'beit shamay over v'kaneach lo poi meidiach. Right, the Havamin was that the machlok shim beisil beit shamay is to the extreme, in which beit shamay require kinuach, and beisil require meidiach. And we had a problem because the Regen Gershon says meidiach means you're dying, and that doesn't seem to help over here. But the Havamin is that beisil would say meidiach, and he doesn't require kinuach. Now, we have a machlokes, which is more efficient, which is odif. Is it kinuach or hadoch? And the Tzam Sofer explains that this machlokes is dependent upon the following question. Ha'im hatam deboy hechsher, the reason why we need this hadoch or kinuach, who mishum shatam boso nimshach befiv. If so, hadocha b'mayim adifa. Why? Demapik taima. Rinsing out your mouth with water, says the Tzam Sofer, is going to remove the taim that you have in your mouth. But there's another possible reason for this whole process of kinuach and hadocha, and that's because of the particles that are left, particles of cheese or meat that are left in your mouth. And then kinuach, when you take something very hard and you chew it up, that's odif, that's better than hadocha. So hadocha could be good for asar satam, and it's superior to kinuach, but kinuach is superior to hadocha with regard to removing the basar ben hashinayim. Okay. Now, it's interesting because we're going to have a shita later on that if you eat meat and then you want to eat gvina, you have to wait 6 hours, but afterwards you don't need kinuach and hadocha. The 6 hours will substitute for kinuach and hadacha. And that's a little bit interesting, because what are we saying? That after 6 hours there's no tam of basa b'fiv? Are we saying that after 6 hours basa b'ein hashinayim is no longer basa? That the Gemara seems to indicate. But if you're going with hasar satam, I don't know. It's a little bit of a question how hamtana, how shehiyas sheshos would be meaningful to get rid of the tam. Unless you say that the tam b'fiv only lasts for up to suda l'suda, not beyond. Now the Gemara's final maskana is that Beishame Omri Mekaneach Vehu Adin LeMeidiach UBeisil Omri Meidiach Vehu Adin LeMekaneach. So here we have a major machlokas Rishonim. Do you need both? That's how Rashi, Tosfos, and other Rishonim learn. Or is it enough that you do one of the two? And we'll soon see that the Rashba is the one who allows for one of the two, a choice of the two. But the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that, the like the Rashba, and Sagi Bechad Minayhu O Kinuach O Hadocha, that one of the two is sufficient. What led the Rashba to this conclusion that one of the two is sufficient? He went back to the Brice of Agra, and it says there, below Netil Sidaim ubelo Kinuach HaPer. That was the case of Basar Of, if you remember. And there's no mention at all of Hadocha. Why didn't he mention Hadocha? He only mentions Kinuach. It would seem that he doesn't need both. It's one or the other. Furthermore, why don't Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai mention that you need both? It says in the Gemara, Maro Machadu, Maro Machada. Which sounds like the implication is that Beis Hillel emphasized Hadocha, Beit Shammai, Kinuach, but it's one or the other. Maro Machadu, Maro Machada. They're giving you two suggestions, two recommendations. The Gra also quotes the Rashba, and it sounds like he passes like the Rashba, that all you need is one of the two. However, the Rosh has a proof that you need both. Why? Because after Beit Shammai Omru Hadocha, I'm sorry, Kinuach, Amai Hutzuchu Beis Hillel Lememer Desagi Badocha Vahadocha Adifa Mikinuach. It's very interesting that Beis Hillel to emphasize Hadocha. Now, Hadocha is Adifa Mikinuach. Again, the Rosh seems to assume that we're talking about getting rid of the tam. So if we're getting rid of the tam, then rinsing out your mouth is even more profound, has a greater effect, is more effective than Kinuach. So from the fact that Beis Hillel had to go out of his way to mention Hadocha, it seems to indicate that you need both of them. Now again, all this is based on the fact that the Rosh assumes that Hadocha Adifa Mikinuach. But according to Rashi, who says the whole purpose is to get rid of the Shirayim, you know, the particles, then Kinuach is superior to Hadocha. Okay, now there's a whole school of
difficult simply to how you read the words. Mar amachada, amar amachada, it's very difficult to
assume that you need both of them.
You need both.
Right. But again, keep in mind that they serve two different purposes.
Right.
Right? Because one is to get rid of the tam and one is to get rid of the particles. Now it could be that according to the Rashba, basically, we're not interested in the tam. We're really interested in the particles. And if you do a good, rigorous hadacha by rinsing your mouth out in a very strong kind of way, you can get rid of the particles. And maybe, perhaps, a more superior way would be to do kinuach. But again, the Rosh is assuming that hadacha adifa mi kinuach. Now, it seems that the Rishonim, the Smag, the Ritva, and others they testify that the Re would be Shora Pas B'mayim, and by soaking a piece of bread in water, he would accomplish both Kinuach and Adacha in one fell swoop, because the liquids that are saturated in the bread, and that's enough. I find this a little surprising, because the Gemara with regard to Kinuach wants something that's very hard as opposed to something that's too soft, and in this case he soaks it in water. I don't know, but in any event, the Torah writes
there saying Kinuach per el pas.
Right, a Kinuach per el pas, but he's saying that you could add Adacha to this pot by soaking the pot in water. However, the Torah writes Yosef Tov Lios Kol Echad Bifnei Atzma. The best way of doing it is to do a separate Adach and a separate Kinuach, and that seems to be the opinion of the Smag. And the Riva is of the opinion that you need a certain sequence, and that is start with Adach HaSaper and then you're ready for Kinuach Bepas. The Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah write that Bein achilas basar v'dagim yesh lechol v'lishtos v'havi kinuach v'hadocha. In other words, we don't want to eat meat and fish together. That might be a problem of sakanta. So in order to separate between the two, he should eat and drink. Whatever he eats between the fish and the meat, that's going to be Kinuach, and whatever he drinks is going to be Hadocha. My father used to be makvid to have a schnapps. He filled it with that minute. And after fish, he ate a schnapps. My shver also has that minute. So maybe the schnapps is Hadocha Saper. But maybe take a piece of bread in your mouth as well, a piece of challah, because you want to separate between the fish and the meat, not only with Hadacha, but also with Kinuach. The Chachmas other writes, Sheyishte Dover Beinein. All he needs to do is to drink between the two. In other words, he drops the requirement of Kinuach. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chachmas Adam, and he doesn't add Kinuach. He doesn't add the requirement of Kinuach. And that seems to be the Minhag HaOlam. Perhaps we're going to rely on the Rashba, because the Rashba says that even between cheese and meat, all you need is one of them, so that Hadacha would be sufficient. And not only that, the Gaon seems to indicate that we paskin, we accept the Rashba. But in any event, there is room to be makil between fish and meat. Now, Beisil Omer Meidiach Vahu Adin Le Mekaneach. What is the exact sequence here? It says Meidiach Vahu Adin Mekaneach. So until now we mentioned the Riva, and the Riva wanted to begin with Hadacha and then go on to Kinuach. And the Torah has it in the reverse. Mekaneach v'achakach yadiach. Which in a sense makes sense, because after the Kinuach, he still might have, you know, some leftover from the Kinuach. And therefore it makes sense that he rinsed it out afterwards. But the mashmos of the Torah is he should be makdim Kinuach tahadocha. And that's how the Bach has it, and the Knesset HaGedola, the Levush. Now the Levush says that Ein Adocha Mevatel Es Tam Shuman Agvina B'Piv, that Adocha, just one second, didn't we have the Levush before? And the Levush, just one second. Sorry, I lost the place here for a second. Was of the opinion that Kinuach is going to remove the top, and Hadoch is going to remove the particles.
So it doesn't matter in which order?
Oh, so let's see about the order. We're talking according to the Torah, where he starts with Kinuach. And we said that the purpose of Kinuach was to remove the Tam. The purpose of Hadoch, according to Levush, was to get the particles out. Pirush HaLevush, the Ein Hadoch Vatelas Tam Shuman Akvina Befiv. Oh, the Im Yadiach Lifnei HaKinuach, if he would begin with Hadocha, and keep in mind that Hadocha cannot get rid of the Tam, and for that I need Kinuach to change the Tam, is Lo Tahani Hadocha L'Salik HaPirurim HaDvukim B'Shuman Shebefiv. In other words, that although the purpose of Hadocha is to remove the Pirurim, but it's not going to be successful in and of itself, but the rinsing out of his mouth is only going to reliably remove the Pirurim if he did Hadoch. Again, the purpose of Hadoch is a different purpose according to the Levush. It's to remove the Tam, but nevertheless it already loosens up the Pirurim, and now when he rinses out his mouth he gets rid of all the Pirurim. So therefore we should start with Kinuach. Kinuach is now not only meaningful in and of itself, but it's also preparation for Hadocha. It's the first stage, first step towards Hadocha. So basically what happens is that the Kinuach also removes these Pirurim, but there's still some Pirurim left, and that the completion of that process of getting rid of the Pirurim is going to be clinched with the Hadocha. Hadocha Mesalekes es kol ha-shirayim, the ptitim that are shirayim after the Kinuach HaPer. And basically after you do the Kinuach and there's still ptitim and there's still shirayim, now you have to clean it off, clean it out with rinsing your mouth, and that's called Hadocha. So all that is in the Torah. We start with Kinuach and then we go on to Hadocha. However, there's a sefer called Shari Dura, which again goes back many, many centuries. Yes. Do you remember who wrote it? I don't remember who wrote it.
I don't.
So he says the following.
Certainly a Rishon, for sure.
Probably a late Rishon, but anyway, he quotes the Riva, and he says that he should start with Hadocha and then go on to Kinuach. We're not sure exactly why he would be makpid to start with Hadocha. Perhaps because the water itself will soften up the basa that's left. So now it's easy for him through Kinuach to clear out the basa. Then we have a third opinion, which is Hagos Maimonides, Isa Veheter. And it doesn't matter what you start with and what you end with. The halacha has no definite sequence. So we have all these three possibilities. We either have the Tur who wants Kinuach first and then Hadocha. We have the Sharidur who wants Hadocha first and then Kinuach. And we have the Ghost Maimonides and the Isaveheta. They don't care one way or the other. It's your choice. Now we mentioned before that the Knesset HaGdolah says that the Ri had a minhag to take the pas and soak it in water.
Right.
And perhaps what the Ri tried to accomplish is he didn't know which comes first, the Kinuach or the Hadocha. Because, again, there are two shitas. The Torah wants the Kinuach to come first, and the Sharidura wants the Hadocha to come first. So what did the Ri come up with? He came up with a brilliant solution that'll do both simultaneously. The Hadocha and the Kinuach in one action by dipping his bread into water. Now the Gemara's final conclusion about Kinuach HaPeh is Hilchos HaBechol Miliyavi Kinuach Lebar Mikimcha Tamri V'Yarka. And here we have Machlokas Rishonah, which we mentioned. One Machlokas is going to be about Kemach, and it's how far are we going to go with Kemach? We're excluding Kemach here for Hadocha. Is that all Kemach? Is it only Kemach tomorrow? We're going to have another Machlokas about Peros. because we're excluding tamarim. What about other fruits? So the Rid and the Rivavan write any fruit is good with the exception of tamri. And kinuach would work with any fruit. And it would seem like a bunch of poskim accepted this shita. And the Rambam says, Efshar lekaneach bepas o beperos. So the only exclusion here is tomorrow. Now, where is the other shita here? Let me just see. Oh. The other shita says that tamri is an archetype, is a paradigm of all peros. Just that in Bavel, that's what they had. They had tamri. But it means that all fruits are out. The original Hilchasa says b'chol mili, you can use anything for kinuach. That means kol mine pas, any type of bread. But fruits are excluded. So the question is whether tamri is singled out as the only fruit that's excluded, or tamri is indicative of all the fruits. That's just what they had. But again, we still have the sheet of the Rambam, who says explicitly that Efshel Kaneh Pepas Obeperos, and that sheet was accepted by many of the poskim. Again, the Tur writes that Efshel Kaneh Pechol Dover Chutz Mikemach Tmarim, Kemach Tmarim V'Yirokos, and he's got the two girsos in the tour, but one girs says kemach siorim, but you get the impression that the tour is only excluding tamarim. And he's not writing for Bavel. He should have mentioned excluding peros. So the tour probably accepted the shitas of Rambam, which would mean that any fruit is good. We have another shita that would say any kind of bread is good, but not fruits. Fruits are excluded. Now it says Labar Mikimcha Tamra Viraka. And Rashi says because Rachim, they're very soft. So the psul of Kimcha and Tamri, according to Rashi, is because they're too soft. But many other Rishonim say that the psul of Kimcha and Tamri is because Nidbakim Bechech. They just simply get stuck inside his mouth. And he's not able to effectively chew it such that it goes between the teeth. However, with regard to Yerek, everybody seems to agree that the problem of Yerek with regard to Kinuach is that it's Rachim Biyosek. It's so soft that it'll just fall apart. It won't do the job.
Not effective.
The Torah and the Shulchan Aruch say that Kimcha de Tamri v'yiroka, Kimcha Tamri v'yiroka nidbakim b'chanichayim. So they don't go with the Shita of Rachim, because L'chore he's talking even about Yirokos here, and he says they're all excluded because they get stuck in your mouth. Now, we mentioned before that the Ri and the Minog of taking pas and soaking it in water. Now, the problem that I asked you actually comes up here. I didn't realize that. The V'chai Gavna, pas raka. It becomes softer. It's even softer than the Yerek at this point. It's totally saturated with water. U'muchach da'ri lo sfirle, the Ri could not possibly hold, like Rashi, that the problem with some of these that are disqualified for kinuach is because they're rachin, because he's using something that's totally, totally rach. And then he writes for Yeshi Lidchos, the Hidei Rashi, because of Nasa Rach v'nidbak. Delomahani lekaneach v'pneishu rach v'nidbak. And it sounds like it's one reasoning here. It's so often that it gets stuck. In Kenach Yisar B'dvar Rakim Hu Mishum Shem Nidbakim L'Chech. The problem with something that is soft is because it gets stuck in his palate. Then we could say that the Re holds that just by soaking his bread in a liquid substance, let's say we mentioned before mayim or yayin, that's not the kind of rachus that will cause his tabkus, right? We're afraid that in kimcha and tamra and yiraka, we're afraid of nidbakim lechech, but that's not going to happen if he soaks his bread in water.
The reference here in the Orach HaHalacha explains us to the Reh HaZaken when we are talking about it, right?
About soaking it in a liquid, right?
That's the Reh. Dishros pas b'mayim v'ochlo v'ola v'shpil kinuach v'adacha saper
b'vasachas.
B'vasachas. Oh, sh'ya ochel dova sh'rikantchen bo v'shose achakach mayim v'yayim.
So that's interesting that kinua comes before hadocha. That seems to be the seder of the tour. But we mentioned that the Shari Dura has a different seder, and he should start with hadocha and then do kinua. Amrav chizda ochal basar also lechol gvina. He eats meat, he's not allowed to eat cheese. And here we have machlokas rishonim, whether or not according to Rav Chizda he's allowed to eat the cheese after kinua hadocha. Or do we say that even after kinuach hadocha, he's not allowed to eat the cheese until another se'uda? You know, he requires kinuach hadocha and shehir. So here's how he lists all the rishonim. He says the Rif and the Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosfos, the Ravan, the Ritva, the Gaonim all seem to assume that you need both. You need kinuach hadocha on the one hand, and you need se'uda achriti on the other hand. And that's how it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. However, there are other rishonim, and perhaps Rabbeinu Tam is at the head of the pack, they hold that asur lechol below kinuach hadocha, achli achar kinuach hadocha shori. That once you have kinuach and hadocha, you're allowed to eat milk or cheese, and you don't have to care, you don't have to concern yourself about waiting misu'udo l'su'udo. The Ramah quotes this opinion in the name of the Shigesh Omrim, but then he adds that the minig is to wait an hour. So this is the basis for the Yekesh Minog and the Dutch minig. I mean, they're definitely different minog, 1 hour, 3 hours, but anyway, basically what they're saying is that you don't need hamtana because what you did was kinuach and hadocha, and that per se is enough to accomplish the goal of separating your achilas basa from the achilas kol.
My sister is married to one who comes from Holland, and knows his, no, he's not from Holland, but his father is from Holland. So she waits 1 hour. That's
1 hour. Yeah, and there are more quotes that in the name of the Yesh Omer.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the 3 hour custom is not mentioned in there.
There's a certain logic to this, because if the Gemara talks about kinuach and hadocha, and that seems to be a separation, maybe that's enough. Again, the Rishonim who require both, they're going to say that this is still some tam of basar that's inside his system, inside his mouth, or maybe there's still basar ben hashinayim. So, you know, it's not absolutely. Well, again, We finish saying that both kinuach and hadocha operate in such a way that you remove the tam and the pirurim and any sort of petitim. We said that shirayim a petitim. So why would he have to wait 6 hours? Fine. Let's see. All right. Let me just point out. Well, we got up to here. Maybe we'll finish this next week. But what I do want to point out, just to say goodbye for the end of the week, is that B'li Neder on Sunday, we're going to start the Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amid Beis, because we're going to skip the sugya of my machronim and until Siddayim. Again, it's a sugya that would require a great deal of work unto itself, but we're going to focus our attention on Basu B'cholov, and therefore we're going to skip to the Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amid Beis.
Sorry about that.
It's Mishnah Tzorot, because that Mishnah is really a hemshech of what we've been discussing at the beginning of this perek about the Yisrael law of Pasuk Gvin al Shulchan Echad, because we're afraid you'll come to eat it one from the other.
And get the Tipas Chol, that should take.
That's going to be a major sugya. Now I have here, you won't be here for the 11:45 Eden Shir, but I have here a piece in this book of Shiurei HaRav, which is called Geder Isra Achilas Gvina V'Cholov Achar Basar. And he's going to have a major hakira here about the nature of the Isra of eating cheese after meat. Two different approaches, which he attributes, one approach to Rashi, another approach to the Rambam, and he has Nafkiminus. So that's what I think I'll do in the next year. If you,
I'll miss it. That guy will be.
If you get a chance, maybe you could. You could listen to the.